Chapter 2. Leaving Enniscorthy. Father Flood did not visit again. Instead, he wrote a letter to Eilish's mother when he returned to Brooklyn. A man who went to his church, an Italian-American who owned a large store, could offer Eilish a job. It was not in the office, as Father Flood had hoped, but serving customers. But if Eilish did well, her chance of moving on to a better job would be excellent. And Father Flood could find Eilish a good place to live near his church. Eilish's mother gave her the letter and got up from the table without speaking. Eilish read the letter, and then she read it again. Her mother still said nothing. Finally, she turned to Eilish and said, "We'll show it to Rose when she comes in." Rose arranged everything, and their brothers in England paid for Eilish's ticket to New York. Then, a letter on beautiful blue paper arrived for Eilish from Bertocci & Company, Brooklyn, signed by Laura Fortini. Eilish stared at the expensive paper and fine handwriting. She had never seen anything that promised so much. She realised that she ought to tell Miss Kelly before she heard the news from someone else. But when Eilish got to the shop, there were no customers there. "Oh, you've come at a bad time," Miss Kelly complained. "Just when I thought that we'd have a bit of peace."
"Well, I just came to say that I'm going to America in a month," Eilish said. "I'm going to work there. But I'll be here on Sundays, of course, until I go."
"No, we won't need you if you're going," Miss Kelly answered. "So we'll see you when you come home for holidays, if you're still talking to everyone."
"But I could work on Sundays until I leave."
"No, you can't. There'll be too much talk. So off you go now. I've no time for talking."
Eilish left the shop and went home. What Miss Kelly said about coming home for holidays made Eilish suddenly realise that she had expected to live in Enniscorthy all her life. She had thought that she would get a job in the town and after a while she would marry someone. Then she would give up the job and have children. Now, she felt chosen for something special. Something that made her afraid but also excited. Eilish tried not to think too hard about it, even when she woke in the night. She would not allow herself to believe that she did not want to go to America. Meals at home with Rose and her mother were full of talking and laughing, but Eilish knew that they were both trying hard to hide their real feelings. Everything was arranged for her journey. As she packed her suitcases, Eilish realised that she would be in a different room, in a different country, when she opened them. But she would not let herself think about losing this familiar world forever, or never having an ordinary day again in this ordinary place. Most of all, she had to make her mother and Rose believe that she was looking forward to America. She promised herself that she would never let them see how she really felt. What she needed to do until the ship sailed was to smile, so that they would remember her smiling. When the day came, Eilish first had to travel to Dublin to take the boat to Liverpool. Rose took the day off work and came with her on the train to Dublin. Then their brother Jack met Eilish off the boat in Liverpool and took her to the ship that would cross the Atlantic. It was huge and white, so much bigger and cleaner than all the ships around it. On the ship, Eilish found it difficult to carry her suitcases down the narrow steps to the third-class cabins. She followed the signs to her cabin and opened the door of the little room for two. There was a bunk bed, no window, and a door into the smallest of bathrooms, which was shared with the next cabin. On the far side of the bathroom was another door, which led to the other cabin. Eilish lay down on the bottom bunk, thankful that the first part of the journey was finished. Suddenly, the door opened and a woman came in, pulling an enormous suitcase behind her.
"This is awful,"
she said, as she tried to close the door, which was difficult because the suitcase was so big. She sounded English.
"My ticket says that I have the bottom bunk," she continued. "So move. My name is Georgina."
The woman was between 30 and 40, with bright blonde hair. Eilish introduced herself and climbed up the little steps to the top bunk.
"Never again," Georgina said.
"Never again such a big suitcase, or never again going to America?" Eilish could not help asking.
"Never again in third class. Never again the big suitcase. Never again going home to Liverpool. Just never again."
Eilish smiled and imagined telling Rose about Georgina.
"Come up on deck and have a cigarette with me," Georgina said.
"I'm sorry, I don't smoke," Eilish told her.
"Well, come up and see the lights anyway," Georgina said.
So Eilish climbed down from her bunk, pushed past the enormous suitcase by the door, and followed Georgina along the corridor and up through the ship to the deck. There, they stood watching the city of Liverpool grow smaller.
"I know a way to first class," Georgina said after a while. "Come with me."
"I'm all right here," Eilish said.
"As you like, but from what I've heard, it's going to be a bad night."
It soon became too windy on deck, so Eilish went inside and found the third class dining room. She sat alone at a table in the empty room. Perhaps most passengers travelled first or second class, she thought. Or maybe the other third class passengers had found a way into the first class dining room, like Georgina. A waiter silently brought her some soup and some boiled meat and potatoes. After she had eaten, Eilish returned to her cabin. When she went to brush her teeth and use the toilet, she discovered that the people in the next cabin had locked her bathroom door. So she waited for them to finish and unlock the door. She waited and listened, but could hear nothing. She hoped that Georgina would come soon and know what to do. After a while, Eilish knocked softly on the door, but there was no reply. Then she knocked loudly because she really needed the toilet. There was still no reply. Eilish pushed past Georgina's suitcase again, out to the corridor, and searched for a toilet. She went up more stairs and down more corridors, still without finding one. The ship was beginning to roll forward a little, making it more difficult to walk, and she saw no other passengers. Finally, she found a bucket, brushes, and other cleaning things in a corner. There, she listened to check that no one was coming and quickly sat over the bucket. After she was finished, she hurried into her cabin, put on her nightdress, and climbed up to her bunk. She did not know how long she had slept, but when she woke, she felt hot and horribly sick. She sat up, felt for the steps in the dark, and almost fell down them. She got past Georgina's suitcase and pulled open the cabin door. Out in the corridor, she dropped to her knees because the rolling of the ship made it impossible to stand, and she was terribly sick. Each time she thought that she could get up, she was sick again. When at last she managed to get back to her cabin, she heard someone else being sick in the bathroom. She knocked on the door angrily. Now she understood why the people on the other side had kept it locked. They had known that there would be a storm in the night and that they would need to use the bathroom. Eilish climbed slowly up to her bunk and lay in the dark, feeling awful. She would never be able to tell anyone how sick she felt. She was woken by a soft hand on her head.
"Oh, you poor little thing," Georgina said. They wouldn't open the bathroom door,
Eilish whispered.
What horrible people! Leave them to me.
Georgina took some little scissors out of her handbag and worked at the lock on the bathroom door. Soon, she managed to open it.
Now, we have to stop them locking it again because the storm is going to get even worse tonight, Georgina said. I'll move my suitcase against their door, then they won't have a chance of getting in. Why did you eat such a big dinner?
Georgina asked when she had moved her suitcase.
Didn't you hear them talk about the storm when we came on the ship? Just drink water for the rest of the journey and have nothing to eat.
After the second night, the sea grew calm, but Eilish still felt terrible. Then she managed to take a shower in the bathroom and she began to feel a little better.
You still look ill,
Georgina told her the day before the ship arrived in New York.
If you're not careful, you'll be stopped at Ellis Island by the doctors.
She looked through Eilish's clothes and chose the best ones for her to wear the next day.
I'll put some makeup on you too,
Georgina promised.
While you're waiting in line with your passport, try to look confident. Make them think that you know where you're going. Sometimes they don't stop you at all, except to look at your passport.
When Eilish looked in the mirror before leaving their cabin the next day, she was surprised. She seemed older and almost good-looking. Maybe it would be easier to go out among strangers if she could always look like this. But perhaps it would make her more nervous. Would people have the wrong idea about her if she was dressed up like this every day in Brooklyn?